All right, let's pray and get into God's word. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you that we have the privilege to be able to sit in your presence and lift you up, praise you, and honor you, and give you the glory you're due. We pray your Holy Spirit lead us through your word, open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to hear your word and to receive your word and to do what your word says. And I just pray through your Holy Spirit that we're made a little bit better tonight, and you teach us to be more like you and in what you teach us from your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So as you know, every month we do a theme, and this month's theme has been using your spiritual gifts to serve the Lord. And being that this is week 5, it's the final week, so I thought that I'd do a review of the previous 4 weeks, and then I get to do the 5th week. And there's a lot here which you saw with the previous preachers in the previous 4 weeks. So I managed to cut it down to 4 or 5 hours. So we should be out of here probably around midnight or so. Somebody lock the door, please. No. So if you missed any of the weeks, all of the notes and the lessons are online at Calvary Chapel or CalvaryStockton.com. And you can go and listen to each one of the speakers and get a more detailed. So we're going to do a quick review of the first 4 weeks, and I'm not going to get very detailed because, like I said, you can go online and you can listen to them and get all the detail that each speaker gave. But I just want to remind us and refresh us in our mind just the things that we covered. In week 1, it's Joe taught about serving the Lord with your special gifts begins with availability. In week 2, it was how to grow as a servant. And that was Pastor Weston. Pastor Weston taught in week 3, raising up ministry leaders. Zeke last week did who, me? Not me. And week 5 will be your gifts make you unique. And we're going to cover that tonight. So I'm going to go through each one of the weeks really quick, just to give us a reminder and a refresher in our minds. Joe said in week 1 that it begins with availability. Serving the Lord with your gifts starts with making yourself available. And he said that your gift of being available, availability is a gift. And you can make yourself available. How many of us that if we want to see a TV show or watch a sporting event, we always have time to fit that in. So you can make yourself available. And when you do make yourself available, the Holy Spirit and the Lord, you'll be blessed by it. It won't return void. It'll be a blessing. But all of serving with your spiritual gifts, like Joe told us, it starts with being available. You can't share your gifts if you don't make yourself available. So it all starts there. Joe's third point was availability requires faith and courage. You know, it's a great way. Well, where I want to go is you're having faith and courage to use your spiritual gifts for others. This Saturday, we have the outreach at the Delta Market. If you want to put your spiritual gifts into practice and make yourself available, there's a great opportunity right there this Saturday at the Delta Market. So I encourage everybody, if you can come out, just show up for a few minutes or a few hours. We're there from 8 to 1. And make yourself available. Come share your gifts. In week number 2, Pastor Weston taught us how to grow as a servant. He said, point 1 was what does it mean to serve the Lord? His second point is what are our gifts? And he said our gifts are our resources, and God provides us with all of our gifts and our resources. He won't send you out to do something and not give you the resources to do it. What are common objections? What are a lot of the excuses that we all come up with to say, oh, I'm too busy, or I don't want to do that, or I don't know the Bible good enough? Those are all excuses I used. So what are common objections? And what steps can we take to grow in ministry? In week 3, Pastor Weston taught us about raising up ministry leaders using our spiritual gifts. And he said, first, be excited about servant leadership. And he also said that he pointed out that every single one of us here, we're all leaders. As we share the gospel with other people, we're leaders sharing the gospel. So he said, be excited about that. Be excited about using your gifts to share with others and lead others to Christ, just like somebody probably led you. The second point Weston had that week was look for your calling and gifting, and it's all in God's timing. And then his third point was confirm alignment with church leadership. Then week four, Zeke taught us, who me, not me. And he made a point that God chose you. He gave us examples of people all through the Bible that God chose, and they came up with the objections of why they couldn't do it. But God specifically chose each person for a specific job. And a lot of them didn't really want to do it. But because they did do it, they ended up with blessing and all that. And Zeke pointed that out to us, that God chooses each person for a reason, not just randomly. And your calling may not be comfortable. Zeke gave us examples of that. Like Esther going before the king. It was a death sentence. But she did it anyway. And you were created for a time like this, as was Esther. That was what Mordecai told Esther when she tried to get out of it and use the objections. He said, you know what, maybe you were created for this. And each one of you tonight, maybe the job you're in, the family you're in, the position you're in, living here in California in 2025, this, you may be here at this time for this purpose. You never know how God's going to use you. Be available. Zeke, I'm going to quote you a couple times, Zeke, because I really like them. But Zeke said, we each have a gift to share, and that makes each one of us unique. And that led me to week number five. I decided with that verse, that quote that Zeke gave us, my subject is going to be your gifts make you unique. And there's three points that I want to share with you tonight on this. Point number one is you are unique. Point number two, your gifts give you value. And point number three, how do I know what my gifts are? So I'm going to start with point number one, and you can just leave this slide up for a little bit until we get to the scriptures. And point number one, you are unique. You are one of a kind. You're unique. Your special gifts, your spiritual gifts, and some of your natural abilities make you different than everybody else. In Psalm 139:14, the Bible tells us, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. That was King David. He was honoring God and praising God for things going on. And he made the confession and realized that he was fearfully and wonderfully made by God. And it wasn't just a mistake. God, the creator of the universe, wonderfully made each one of us as individuals. Like a fine craftsman, he was mindful of every single detail that he put into each one of us. You aren't an accident or just a pile of cells thrown together in a heap and voila, poof, a person came out of that. No, you weren't a mistake. You were mindfully and wonderfully knit together in your mother's womb. That's another psalm that David talked about. You were wonderfully made by the Lord, and he blessed you with your spiritual gifts. And he gave you those spiritual gifts to make you unique and you set apart from everybody else. You are special and you are valuable to the Lord. He gave you those special gifts and spiritual gifts to make you unique and to make you special, which gives you value. You have value in the Lord. He didn't create you for nothing. He created you for a purpose. And those gifts that he gives you are for a purpose. And because you have a purpose and a reason, that gives you value. And that brings us to point number two. Your gifts give you value. There's all of the preachers in all 4 weeks all said that there's diversity and unity in one body. Every time they started quoting the scripture, I go, oh no, that's the one I'm going to use. But they had a different take on it. And I like how Weston let each speaker had all of us different speakers. So we all had a different point of view on the same thing. And I think that was really a wise idea. I think it gives us all a different perspective on it. So I wanted to share Romans chapter 12, verses 12 to 31. And everybody touched on it a little, but I'm going to get a little detailed on it. So let's read through the scripture and pay attention to the words. And we'll discuss it a little bit when I'm finished. Starting with verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But how God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again to the head or to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, if you are of the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts." That was a lot. There's a lot in there. But if you see reading through that, the point Paul is trying to make is that all parts have value. There's not one part that's more important than another. Like each one of us as an individual and being unique, all have value and a purpose. And we have a function in the body that the body can't function unless every part is there functioning. There's no part that's more necessary than any other. Just as every one of us is an integral part of the church. We are the church. The building isn't the church. We are the church. We are the one body in Christ. We each have our God-given gifts to serve a specific purpose. And let me ask you, what would it be like if we all had the same gifts? If I had, I'm going to use you as an example, Zeke, but if you and I had exactly the same gifts, why would I need you? I have all the gifts anyway myself. No, you know what I'm saying? We wouldn't need each other. If I have all the gifts that you have, I wouldn't need anybody else. I'd be dependent on myself. But together, the gifts I might have, you don't have, and you have gifts that I don't have, and together we complete the body. The body is made complete. We're like a whole bunch of pieces to the puzzle. And if one piece is missing, the puzzle's not complete. And if one piece of us is missing with our special gifts, the body's not complete. So the body needs everybody, and you need to use your gifts that God gave you. Some of them are natural, some of them are, you know, God-given, some are spiritual gifts. Some gifts you may get just for a few moments to use however the Holy Spirit needs. Maybe at a time he needs you to have a special gift, and he'll give that to you to accomplish his purpose. You may not have it all the time. Like, I'm never going to be a great basketball player. I can't jump 2 feet off the ground, and, you know, I just don't have that gift. That's why I have a ladder. And, you know, they have those adjustable ones that I can drop down to about this level. I can slam dunk that. It's no, you know, we're all different. We all have our natural gifts and God-given gifts. And, you know, just think about what it would be like if we all had the same gifts. If we were all exactly the same, we wouldn't need each other. Our diversity is what makes us all one together, and we're necessary for each other. We complete each other. Kind of like in the Garden of Eden when Adam was alone and God said it's not good and brought him Eve. Eve completed Adam. He wasn't superior to her, and she wasn't lower than him. And he was taken from a rib from the side so they would be equal, side by side. And they completed each other. She had a lot of nurturing gifts that he didn't have. When kids are growing up, I know my two boys, when I'd get mad at them and I'd yell at them, where'd they go running? You know, or if they had a problem, they ran to mom because she was more nurturing and more comforting. You know, it's just, that was God's plan. He just made us that way. So having your unique set of gifts gives you incredible value to the church, to serve others and to serve the Lord, all like Weston said in his lessons. It's all for God's glory. It's not for our glory. It's not to build us up or puff us up. Pastor Weston taught us in week 3 that not everyone has all the gifts. Gifts are given by the Holy Spirit to each one of us as they're needed. Our desire should be to earnestly desire the best gifts. That's what Paul said at the end of that scripture we just read. He said, desire the best gifts. So we should desire it, whether the Lord gives them to us or not. If he needs it, yeah, he'll give them to us. But we should desire to have the best. Going on to Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 7. The Bible says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So I'm going to steal another thing that Pastor Weston said in week 3. He said, your gifts are for others. They're not for your own glory. They're not for yourself. God gives you those gifts for others. He said, and they're given to you for others for the glory of God and not for your own glory. And that brings us to my third point. How do you know what my gifts are? And I've asked myself this same question. What are my gifts? I know when I was a new believer and people would be talking about your gifts and using your gifts. And I struggled a lot. And I asked Pastor Roger a lot. I said, how do I know what my gift is? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what my gifts are. And you may find out your gifts from other people. Other people might say, hey, you're really good at that. Or, you know, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. Maybe that's not quite up your alley. Or, you know. So other people may direct you or guide you to reveal what your gifts are. Also, if you're doing something and you're trying to use your gifts to serve, if you're just struggling and having an incredible hard time and things just aren't working, maybe that's not your gift. But if things are really easy and it feels comfortable and it feels good and you're accomplishing what you think God is wanting you to accomplish, and it seems like doors are opening for you, then you're probably on the right path, and those probably are your gifts, things that you're good at. And like I said, there's some natural gifts that you'll just have naturally, and then there are some spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit will give you. So you might be sitting there thinking to yourself, okay, Ryan, this is all great and sounds awesome to serve the Lord with my gifts, but you still haven't told me what they are. How do I know? Does anybody else struggle with this? The same question? Like, what am I getting? How do I know? I think we all struggle with it a little bit. And it's so hard to figure out what your gifts are. And like I said, others might be able to help you out or well, Zeke told us in Proverbs 3, verse 6 last week. He said, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 6. So acknowledge the Lord, and he'll direct your paths. Maybe that's how you find out your gifts. Where is he leading you? Where does he take you? I was thinking, too, if we all had the same gifts, like going back to where we were before, I don't know, maybe it was an ego thing, but I was thinking, gosh, you know what? There's 8.2 billion people on the earth. Right? What if they all had my gifts? What if they all the same as me? What would you think of 8.2 billion me's running around? Oh, no? That was pretty honest. You know, I almost had the same reaction when I thought of that, saying, oh, no, I don't know if I could stand me that long. So I was thinking, going through this, I thought, you know, it would be really nice and really simple. Why can't God just sit me down and tell me what my gifts are? Wouldn't that be great? That would make things so much easier. If you just, you know, when you become a believer, part of giving your life to the Lord is he's going to say, okay, Brian, let's sit down. I'm going to tell you all your gifts and all your plans, you know, what I have planned for you. Why doesn't he do that? Well, guess what he does? In Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, the Bible tells us, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Zeke pointed this out last week, the same verse. Verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you want to know the plan God has for you, you want to know the gifts God has for you, you want to know what his acceptable and perfect will is for you, here it is right here. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how do we renew our mind and transform ourselves? Just like we're doing tonight. Fellowship together. Read your Bible. Pray. Jesus was always praying and staying in constant fellowship with the Lord. The more time you spend with him, the more you're going to hear his voice, and he's going to reveal to you what he wants for you. You'll be able to discern like this. You'll prove what is that good and acceptable will that God has for you. So as you pray, spend time in God's word, fellowship with others, use your spiritual gift to serve others. Like the other four previous speakers or three previous speakers spoke the previous 4 weeks. And I encourage you, if you missed it, go online and listen to each one of them, because they give a lot of detail on how to use your gifts to serve others. So as you do that, you'll see a clearer and clearer picture of what God's will is for you. The more time you spend with God, the closer you're going to be with him and the more you're going to get to know him. When you're first dating somebody and infatuated with that, the more time you spend, that's how you got to know him. That's how you get to know God. That's how you build that relationship and that fellowship with the Lord. Spend time with him. Then you will be able to discern your gifts and God's will for you. Sound good? All right, let's do a look at the final, just to recap everything. First, week one, serving and using your gifts to serve others begins with availability. Using your gifts to serve the Lord will teach you how to grow as a servant to others. Using your spiritual gifts to serve the Lord will help you in raising up ministry leaders, or you raising yourself up as a ministry leader. It'll help you become stronger and more connected and more bonded with the Lord. And I don't know how to say serving the Lord with your spiritual gifts, who me, not me. What that means is when God calls you, listen. Don't be afraid to answer. Don't be afraid to step out. Joe said in week one, it takes courage and faith. Use that courage and faith. When God says you, don't say who me, not me. Say, yes, Lord, here am I, speak. Like Zeke pointed out to us. And using your special gifts, each one of us has different gifts to make us unique, to make us one body in Christ. So together we complete each other. We're one body. We're one church. We have one Lord, one God, all through Christ. Amen? Amen. Are there any questions, thoughts, or comments on this week or the previous weeks? Any thoughts?
I was thinking that last week that Zeke was preaching, that when, you know, he was reading the parable of the master that gave the gifts.
The talents?
The talents to the three people. And how God knew that the last one was, you know, like some may be shy or they don't want to work for the Lord, they don't want to serve. And this one just, you know, hid it and didn't do anything with the talent. But anyways, the Lord gave him the chance, you know, to step up and to do something with it, but he just decided not to. And there's a lot of people, like I can, in my family, at least I can think of a lot of people in my family that they have talents, but they just decide not to work for the Lord with them. And there's a lot of people like that, you know, they just hide the talent that God has.
We bury it because we're afraid to lose it.
Exactly. But God, anyways, he made the decision of giving you the talent. And it's our responsibility to do what the Lord.
And what happened to that guy? They took his talent away and gave it to somebody else. So you use it or lose it. And I think it's, I don't know if it's on purpose, but when Jesus uses that parable and talents as happens to be money, but talent in our language also happens to be abilities and skills. So it's kind of, you know, are you using your talent, abilities and skills, or you know, I don't know if that word was used on purpose for us later on. Yeah, Jeremy.
You know what a talent means in English, how they see it in English?
No.
Eric.
Eric?
Yeah.
That's what a talent is in England?
Yeah.
Okay.
In America.
Yeah, in this... And this, I think, it's our responsibility too, to tell people when we see talents in them, to share, to encourage people by telling them, like, you know, you have this gift, you have this talent. I think we have a responsibility to do that too, and lift other people up. So some people may have great talents, but they're not all outgoing. But they can still do a lot of work for the Lord with whatever, you know, gifts that they do have.
Yes, exactly.
So I think, you know, it's easy to just go on, you will have busy days and not think about encouraging somebody else or sharing with them. Gee, you know, you really have this talent and the whatever ministry could use that or get them involved in doing something. I think we have a responsibility to help cultivate people to use their talents.
Yeah, and I think sometimes some people might not even realize until, like, if you bring it to their attention, they go, oh yeah, maybe I could do that. They might not think of it until somebody says something.
Maybe
Well, when Peter, I don't know exactly the scripture, but Peter tells us that all scripture is God-breathed, and it's used for the edification and encouragement of others. So we should encourage them, I think. And what does it hurt for a word of encouragement to somebody? You know, it's not breaking somebody down, it's not tearing them down, it's building them up. And in today's world, I mean, that's rare. But it goes a long ways. I mean, how do you feel when somebody says something, gives you a compliment or encourages you, and you go, yeah, okay, that feels pretty good. That sounds pretty good.
Boosts up the momentum of the people, you know, especially if you have a group of men and you work together doing certain something, like on the Saturday, you know, good compliment. Mm-hmm. You know, you want the motive of the brother fellowship, you know, you have to stay encouraged.
Yeah, we do. You know, go ahead.
I have a really silly idea as to how to figure out your talent.
Okay.
Okay, so you get a big hat and you write down a little piece of paper.
I love it.
Every kind of talent, and you put it all in the hat.
And you pick it up.
And you go in there, you mix it around, you go in there, and everybody picks out a talent.
There you go.
And then you can trade it. You can trade that talent with somebody else that has a talent, and you're like, okay, I'm definitely not a guitar player. Music isn't my ministry, but, oh, I can help. Okay, so you bring knowledge that, oh, this is real. I mean, I'm not that, but I know that I'm a helper, or I'm an administrator, or I'm something else. And so you're trading because you really do have an idea as to what your talent is.
And you may end up with what your talent is. But in the, if everybody does the same thing, and that's a great idea, passing these little slips of paper around. You know who the guitar player is or who this is, so you'd be passing them around to that until finally you get one that, maybe that's me.
That's me.
They used to say that people that sit in a congregation and listen to a sermon and are very judgmental of the sermon, those are the people that are gifted to be teachers, because they're always figuring it out. They're going, wait a minute, that's not what I would have said. That's not what I, and so that's your gift of being a good teacher. So sometimes when you're also critical about something and the way someone does something is a way that you go, hey, well, if you can do it better, come do it better. And that's probably a gift of yours, because, you know, we can see things, you know, like cleaning. Uh-huh. You know, you can see someone cleaning something and you go, well, I probably would have done it this way. Well, yeah, you got to give it. Clean. Some people have a gift of organizing. Some people just naturally, just boom, do. You're like, hey, wow, well, you just put that together. Come over here and do that. You know, so I like the fact that I think everyone, like Ms. Gail said, we need to encourage one another. One of the biggest, I do a lot of fundraising, and it's not in the Christian realm, but you have to get volunteers. And I found the easiest thing to do is to have, you know, they have to do the volunteering or they get charged money. But that's
so you guilt them into it.
No. That's not right. No, but I think the problem with it is that you're not willing to have someone come alongside them and say, you know, there's no mistakes here. We just need someone to be available, like you say in the very beginning. And then that's how you grow them up, by just coming alongside someone, like Ms. Gail said. And then we just minister to them until you can let go and let them with confidence. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times in that interaction, sometimes the confidence is just to remind them of their identity that has already been given to them when they became a Christian. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes
we do.
That we have to do it in our power, and that I got to figure this all out. Actually, no. You just need to let God show you. And, you know, well, I need it all in writing. Okay, I'm sure there's somebody that speaks a lot, like me or Brian, that will gladly tell you what the... You know what I mean? I'm just pointing out there are
you're
people
right.
that are in the church.
Well, what would it be like if we did encourage each other and build each other up?
Telling you what you're... what to encourage you in a way to lift you up.
And so, and you know, like Joe's the totally the opposite. I mean, how we became really close is me hounding him because he would never come out of his shell. So I'm, that's what I kind of do, is I just kind of try to encourage people to do other things and try something.
And through that, you're sometimes helping us reveal what our gifts are.
Well,
we might not be aware.
To do that with anybody, it's just you have to learn. Sometimes not saying anything too is a good thing.
Sometimes saying nothing is saying a lot.
Exactly. But anyway, but my main point.
You know, each one of us. I was reminded last week when Zeke was going through the list of people, and one person he didn't mention that I thought of was David. His whole life, each one of us, what we're going through, where we are right now, and the jobs we're doing, and the families, the situations we're in, you might be in training for something later on. Look at King David. He was a little shepherd boy out taking care of sheep, but during that time of taking care of the sheep, he had to protect them from wolves, sometimes bears. He had to fight off and kill bears to protect his sheep. He said he fought off lions and fought. And that, and when he had to finally went and faced Goliath, he looked at Goliath and goes, "What are you kidding me?" He goes, "I fought bears and lions that were bigger than this dude. This is nothing." He was already prepared. The Lord had already prepared him and trained him for that situation later on. And he realized that. He realized that he was fighting God's battle. God was just using him to fight the battle. God was with him.
Yeah, that was Sunday. If you guys were here on Sunday, I really thought that was great how he pointed out that we have resurrection power now and that we're dead to what we were before. So if you're thinking and stinking thinking about not the ability to do something, it's possible that you're thinking in your flesh and not what God has already is equipped us to do. It's amazing what we can do if we remember who we are in our position with Christ.
Yes. Yeah, we're dead to all that. We got new life in Christ.
Exactly.
New life in righteousness. Mm-hmm. Everything's righteousness, no matter the circumstance. It might not look like it's righteous at the time, or mm-hmm. you know, you're going through trauma or circumstances, mm-hmm. but it's all Jesus Christ's righteousness for in the future.
Right. So when you stand before the Lord, he's not going to see you and your sin. He's going to see the righteousness of Christ because of his blood. Amen. Thank you, Jeremy. Thanks, Adriana. Anybody else?
2 Timothy 3:16.
Okay.
All scripture is inspired.
Oh. You can finish it if you want. Or do you know?
Basically, it's all scripture is inspired by God.
Okay. Thank you, David. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. We thank you for the lesson. We thank you for your Holy Spirit teaching us through your word. And we pray we stay in constant contact with you and fellowship with you and use those spiritual gifts and those special gifts that you've given each one of us and the natural gifts you've bestowed upon each one of us that we'll use them for your honor and your glory to serve others and to help others and to help others through their time of tribulation or troubles. We thank you that we have the honor and privilege to be used by you, that you'll use us to help others. We get that privilege and that honor. You gave that to us through the gifts that you've given to us. And because of our gifts, we are each unique. We're one of a kind. But we need to be all together to complete the body. So together we are one body in Christ through you and through your shed blood. And we just thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for your shed blood, and just that we're able to serve you and give you honor, praise, and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.